Ladies and gentlemen, step right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see our first. We're on the road.
Christopher Hart with the American Adversaries Second Helping Podcast, where we give you a sample of the American Adversaries radio show, which airs live Sunday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on our local station. That's theanswerorlando.com. You can also listen on our website, live or from the archive. That's americanadversaries.com. And the same with our Rumble channel, American Adversaries. We started the week on Sunday night with Pierce Outlaw and me being joined by Lori Cardoza Moore, founder of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, and our show's producer, Kathy Santo Massino, as we began to sort out the news of the terrorist attack by Hamas in Israel.
Of course, it broke yesterday and overnight, the terrorist attack that occurred. This was a massive terrorist attack that occurred by Hamas. As they the number of incursions into Israel, they cut holes in the fence or blew holes in the fence and rode in on motorcycles and pickup trucks. They also came in on small boats along the shore of Israel. I think there were over two dozen incursion points, and also paragliders were described. Paragliders, you know, that's. I didn't know that there was it was mountainous enough to do that, but those are the reports. Earlier today, the estimates are that at least 600 Israelis were killed.
I believe it's up to 700 now.
Okay, and at least 2,500, I think, were wounded and or injured in the process. And then also you had what are being characterized as dozens, maybe as much as many as 100 or more hostages taken and don't know the condition of them. We do know that many of the people who were captured were summarily abused and murdered, and many of them then dismembered.
Apparently there's Americans that have been
Yes.
Taken hostage.
Yeah, Americans have been killed and injured and wounded and also been taken hostage. Don't know how many. And many of these people, some of them might have been tourists, American citizens exclusively. Many of them, if not most of them, will be people with dual citizenship, mm-hmm. Like our man Abe Katzman. For you folks who may just listen to us only on Sunday nights, perhaps up there in Atlanta. And by the way, you can hear us all the time at AmericanAdversaries.com or on our Rumble channel, American Adversaries. We're live at 5 Sunday through Friday. And Mondays, in the first hour of the show, Abe Katzman joins us. He lives in Jerusalem, and he visits here in the United States. He has dual citizenship. His father had a place up there in Seattle, but during all the COVID scamdemic, he got his father and took him back to Israel, and they live over there in Jerusalem. And I anticipate him to be on the show with us tomorrow. However, he will be grieving because he emailed me this morning. And matter of fact, just let me read you what he emailed to me. And this is going to be all, as he puts it, let me just let him put it in his own words. This is what I got. He sent me a Facebook comment, a Facebook location, and he says, "I'm afraid we'll see several such messages in the difficult coming days. This is my nephew, Chaim Katzman, musician, mechanic, horticulturist, writer, academic, PhD, and a very good grandson to my father. Yesterday, we got terrible news that he had been taken captive by Hamas from Kibbutz Holit in the Negev. This morning, worse news. His death has been confirmed. He was 32 and a U.S. citizen." And this is just horrific. I mean, this was just a cruel, vicious terrorist attack. And they killed women. They killed children and some that they drug off. We don't know, once again, what happened to them. Presumably, some of them will be kept alive to be used as human shields and as bargaining chips. And Hamas spokesperson said that they had taken enough to free all of their prisoners being held by Israel. And so
you got to wonder with the Iranian exchange less than a month ago. And the $6 billion released.
We'll get to that.
There's a strange coincidence here.
We'll get to that. Meanwhile, Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday told the Israeli citizens that this is war. Mm-hmm. And that since then, the Knesset has passed what they call Article 40 Aleph. And that is a formal declaration of war against Hamas. And when we come back, we'll get into some of the lead up to this and what actually might be going on over there, because there's always more to these things than meets the eye. You're listening to the American Adversaries Radio Show. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, a great event is coming to Orlando. The National Federated Republican Assembly's 2023 Presidential Preference Convention will be held at Rosen Shingle Creek, October 13, 14, and 15, featuring prominent speakers such as Congressman Corey Mills and Matt Gaetz, General Michael Flynn, Patrick Byrne, Roger Stone, Mike Lindell, FBI whistleblower Garrett O'Boyle, and many more. Go to FloridaRepublicanAssembly.com to get tickets and sponsorship info. Act fast, it's sure to sell out. That's FloridaRepublicanAssembly.com.
Call me and I'll do the rest. I'm Abby Greenberg with the Golden Group at Compass, the number one brokerage in the country. It's a seller's market and there's no better time to list your house. I'll get it sold and get you the greatest return on your real estate investment. Need to make renovations first? Through Compass Concierge, we'll cover the renovation costs up front and sell your house for top dollar. I'm Abby Greenberg and you can sell your home with ease with the Golden Group. 407-484-2689.
When you begin any journey, whether it's a short one or a long one, you want to feel confident that you'll get there and back without any problems or hassles. So you want to be sure your vehicle is in optimum operating condition. That means if you own a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry and Janice Shepard of Jerry's MB Service, where they specialize in Mercedes-Benz service and repair. Jerry's MB is family-owned and operated with factory-trained technicians, so they are the dealership alternative. So whether it's regular maintenance or a repair of any size, the experts at Jerry's MB know what it takes to keep your Mercedes running smoothly and dependably. They're easy to find just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF, at 551 South Econ Circle. You can call ahead to make an appointment at 407-366-6499 or just bring your Mercedes in and they'll do the rest. Remember, Jerry's MB is the dealership alternative. So give him a call at 407-366-6499 or visit jerrysmb.com. In today's tension-filled world, more and more of us feel on edge and find it difficult to relax and unwind. Yet it's so crucial to good health that we be able to do so. So if you're not able to relax or sleep soundly, then you need to visit Relax and Comfort in the Winter Park Village. At Relax and Comfort, you'll find the solution to your particular needs. You can start with a sleep system that totally conforms to your body and sleeping position. Using smart technology, these beds move with you or can compensate for you. You'll also find the perfect chair to keep you in tip-top comfort, whether it's the X chair for working or watching TV, or massage chairs so you can get massaged every day of the month for the price of one with the masseuse, or my favorite, zero-gravity chairs, which give you the sensation of floating. Relax and Comfort is a family-owned and operated business serving Central Florida for over 50 years and have in-store financing. So visit Don DePaulis and Jackie Ricardo at the Relax and Comfort in the Winter Park Village or call them at 407-628-5657 and visit relaxandcomfort.com.
Hello, Central Floridians, and welcome to all of you who visit. Just outside Orlando is the most authentic Italian food you'll find based on ages-old recipes. From the small seaside town of Positano, Italy, owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers traditional, real Italian with new delicious creations. Cafe Positano has separate fine and casual dining, including takeout and frozen dishes ready for your oven. CafePositano.com for menu and specials and see why locals and celebrities choose authentic Italian food. Cafe Positano.
Hey, Central Florida, Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at herringcpa.com.
AM 950 and FM 94.9, The Answer.
Okay, certainly the world is in a much more dangerous place thanks to the lack of leadership in the United States, I dare say. Yeah. Welcome back to the American Adversaries. So there were airstrikes into the Gaza region overnight, but the real action has yet to begin, and it'll have to be done very carefully because of the hostages. So, but Prime Minister Netanyahu has promised a severe response to this. Now, Lori, you have people over there, too. Mm-hmm. You know people over there, too.
Yeah, absolutely. First and foremost, since we're in Atlanta, I want to just let the Consul General know in Atlanta to the southeast, the Consul General to Israel, that our hearts and our prayers go out to all of Israelis. We are, you know, Israel is the only country that I know of that has a monument built from 9/11 with all the names of the people who perished during that event. Israel and the United States have always had shared this very special relationship because of our faith foundationally and because the values that we share, the Judeo-Christian values.
We are people of the book.
That's right. And they are as well. And so I want to first let the Consul General know that our prayers, our hearts and prayers are with you guys. We are doing everything that we can by having shows, discussing it on shows like this. Thank you for all the information that you put out so we get the facts and not propaganda, because there's a lot of propaganda out there. But no, we've got people in Jerusalem who are part of the PJTN team. And if you're not familiar with Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, I want to encourage you to go to pjtn.org. But our mission is to stand with our Jewish brethren and defend the state of Israel against the rise of anti-Semitism. And anti-Semitism is so pervasive, especially in the Middle East, especially with the Palestinians. But our contact there, she was telling, I've been in communication with her over the last couple of days. They're fine. They have not heard any more sirens. But we know that Hamas is saying that they're going to start pushing out toward Jerusalem, targeting Jerusalem. Israelis are in shock. They're in shock because they can't understand how this happened. And I think what's happening, we're all in shock. This was shock and awe. We're all in shock about it. But, you know, part of the process of grieving is the anger that comes. And people are starting to get angry. And this is what I'm hearing. People want to know, who let this happen? Surely someone knew what was going on. And to look at the horrific images of what's coming out of the area. I just watched a video of a little boy, a 7-year-old boy that was captured, taken to Gaza. He was being pushed around by some other young boys. What is going to happen to this kid? There was another image of a woman, an elderly woman, with her nurse. She is a Holocaust survivor. She survived the Holocaust only to be captured at the end of her life by Hamas and taken into Gaza. I mean, there's no telling what they're going to do. I saw another video of a family that Hamas had broken into their home. There was a little boy, a young girl. The parents were on the floor covering their children with their bodies. While these terrorists are roaming through the house, they had killed the oldest daughter that was there in the house. I mean, this is outrageous that this is going on. It's time for Israel to deal with these people. They have, you know, we see the skirmishes, there's missiles launched, Israel retaliates, and then a couple months later, boom, we're back to normal, everything, there's a peace treaty, blah, blah, blah. You know what? It's time, once and for all, to annihilate the problem and get rid of these terrorists. These terrorists only care about killing Israelis, killing Jews. They hate Jews. They accuse the Jews of occupying their land. We know historically the land was given to Israel by Almighty God. And that covenant and that contract, that agreement is still intact. But what is happening, how this happened, you know, we're talking about the government that has the intelligence that's superior to any other country. And here we have, they miss this incredible plan. This is not something that they just decided to do overnight.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, they have been stockpiling weapons for quite some time. Israel, as a matter of fact, had been actually going in and discovering caches of weapons in the Gaza area. As a matter of fact, Hamas used this as one of their provocations, is that Israel was coming into Gaza and making arrests and doing all this other stuff. And they also mentioned the fact that I believe recently about 1,500 Jews went to the Temple Mount, and that was a provocation. Basically, the time was right. I think one of the main things is Iran is more emboldened. They've been more emboldened by this Biden administration, kowtowing to them, kissing their feet. Oh, please, please tell us, what do you want for a nuclear deal? Please tell us, please, what do you want? The Iranians just laughing at them and muddying up their feet so that the Biden administration will kiss muddied feet. And then Biden administration also enriched them. Now, Kathy mentioned during the break, the $6 billion tranche that was just made available to Iran. And, of course, the media was asking the administration officials this question this morning, sort of accusationally, why did you give them, didn't that embolden? But the administration response is, no, they can't use that money. It was available under Trump, and it was too soon. And in essence, there is a bit of truth to that. You can't just out of hand blow off everything they say if there's a nugget of truth. There is a nugget of truth. It would have been pretty much impossible to pull off this operation within just a couple of weeks after getting that $6 billion. But that wasn't the real problem. The real problem was the other $40 billion or so that they've been able to raise by selling oil and bypassing the sanctions, which the Biden administration allowed them to do. So they're raising money hand over fist in the oil market. Mm. That $6 billion is just a little extra bump.
And you can use a credit line, or capital is fungible. You move money around.
Once again, they don't need that $6 billion. So let's don't get stuck on the $6 billion. That is just an addition to the problem that already existed. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this was a pretty low-tech operation, you have to admit. Motor and pickup trucks, small arms, and as few explosives. And look what they were able to do. I heard one Israeli, I think it was the ambassador or former ambassador, say, this is their 9/11. Mm-hmm. And you talked about mm-hmm. the shock mm-hmm. and the how can this happen and who's to blame. All the same emotions that we had on 9/11 and the days afterwards. And they're going through the same thing. But once again, the operation itself was only sophisticated in its size and coordination, not in the tools used. Just like same thing with 9/11. They used box cutters, for God's mm-hmm. sake. But right. look what they were able to do. Now, in terms of who missed it, well, certainly the Israeli intelligence has some explaining to do, but so does the United States intelligence community, mm-hmm. because they have operators over there, too. They have satellites. They're monitoring all the phone calls and everything. They're not stupid. So
why was Bibi left out of the equation? Why was his administration not warned that something is being planned?
We'll get to that when we come back with more of the American adversaries as we explore this terrible, tragic, but nonetheless terrorist act that has to be addressed properly so that it cannot happen again. You're listening to American Adversaries live, and we'll be right back with more of the show.
On Monday, our co-host in Jerusalem, Abe Katzman, joined Lori Cardoza-Moore, Rick Brown, and me, and described how his nephew, Chaim, was murdered by the terrorists, but managed to save 3 lives.
Okay, welcome once again to the American Adversaries Radio Show. This hour is brought to us by Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. And its founder, Lori Cardoza-Moore, is right here. And it was founded to support Israel and Jews. And so let's go right to Abe Katzman. Abe, our hearts are broken here. Sometimes, words just don't suffice.
Yeah, I hear you, and I appreciate it. Does the audience knows what you're referring to?
Some of them do. Ladies and gentlemen, Abe sent me the very, very sad news yesterday that his nephew, Chaim Katzman, was kidnapped and then subsequently murdered. Abe, it's just... it's
horrible.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
We actually found details were there were some contradictory stories. Apparently, we've now heard from the survivor who was with him when he was killed, and apparently she was they were on the kibbutz. She was terrified. It was evident that there were going to be terrorists around already, and he went over. They tried to go into the locked safe room, and within the locked safe room, hide in a closet. Now, one problem is that the safe room is safe from things like shocks from explosions and shrapnel, but it's not designed to, keep determined people out with explosives and weapons. Mm-hmm. So they were able to break in, and they found them in the closet, in this closet, and apparently he was shielding her. They shot him up. He was killed right away, but apparently absorbed the bullets, and she survived. Mm. And they, a whole story. Then they took her and started marching her toward Gaza anyway. But that's, everybody's got stories like these now, but at least now we have some clarity. The initial report was that he had been carried off to Gaza.
Well, did she escape?
It's a crazy story. They had taken a woman captive and left behind her 2 small kids, ages 4 months, and one was a 3-year-old. Mm. And they found her, and they decided, okay, they're going to take her, and she will take the kids, and they're going to march them back into Gaza. And at this place, the Gaza border is maybe, let's say, a little over a half mile away. So it's, you know, it's not a super long trip.
Right.
But you know, with a couple of kids, and they kept on saying in English, you know, hurry faster. And at some point, I don't know why, I don't know if she knows why, but I think they felt that they were just too much trouble. And after they had already crossed into Gaza, they were waved, they kind of waved them away, said, just go.
Oh my goodness.
Then they had to make their way back with terrorists around, hunting. Remember, that's the crazy thing here. These are terrorists hunting for Israeli Jews. And somehow they hid, they made it back. It took a long time, but they were actually able to make it back and back to safety. And, were able to knock on someone's door, and somebody let him in, and she's alive to tell about it. And so are these two kids. We don't know what happened. We know the mother was taken away by Hamas, and that can't be good.
No doubt. Nothing about this is good, obviously. I don't know, you might say miraculous sort of that she was able to elude them and get back. I don't know, maybe somehow Chaim was able to protect her from where he was.
It's, you know, it's a relief in a way. When it was like they found him in a closet and they shot him. And I was kind of, you know, there's no sporting chance. There's nothing. At first, the original story, we assumed that he was shot because he was resisting being taken back and taken into Gaza. And so they had found his body somewhere closer. None of this is satisfying. None of it is good. Mm-hmm. But this, at least, you can take away something good, something valuable from it. It's not just a total waste. He saved somebody.
He saved.
That's not bad.
Well, in essence, in a way, he saved three lives.
Maybe.
Hers and the two children.
Yep.
Right?
Maybe.
So how's your father taking it?
My father does not know.
I see.
Because we're not telling him.
I see.
So he can no longer really, you know, process what he reads in the paper. He can read headlines, but as long as we keep the names out, I'm sure he's upset at, you know, what he sees in the headlines and the photos and everything, but he doesn't know yet how personally it is affecting him.
I see.
And this grant, Chaim was a particularly good grandson to him because he studied in Seattle, he would go, you know, beyond whatever he had to do, really wasn't compelled to, but he would go over and spend like Shabbat dinner with my father pretty much every week. Mm-hmm. And,
what a fine grandson.
He did a great job there.
Mm-hmm. And, I looked at this picture on Facebook, very handsome man as well, and just a terrible loss to the family, terrible loss to Israel, and I dare say terrible loss for all of us, but what a hero, and we would protect her, and in the way that all played out. I had heard that not only were they taking hostages, but they were also taking bodies of Israeli.
Right.
Have you been able to, how is that playing out?
Gosh. Well, that's not, we've seen this before. Mm-hmm. This is what they did going way back to like 2014. They still hold some bodies that they took. There were battles in the tunnels, and they took a couple of bodies back with them. They assume that that's going to be leverage in some kind of deal, and on some level it is. But when you've got 100 live prisoners, which they now have, and you've got and you've created, you know, these just, you know, this sea of blood in the area around there. Just awful what they do. It's the barbarity of it. You know, if I'm not sure how much leverage some corpses are really going to give you at this point. I don't know. Look, I'm not going to second guess their calculations and how they did this, because they were, you know, they were pretty good. They figured something out, and if this is what they think they need to do, well, you know, it's awful, it's evil, but I get it. I'm not sure I totally understand the strategy, because that seems to be a lot of work. Now, one thing they did, I don't know if you saw these reports, I could not believe this, but, you know, they attacked this music festival.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And that was what they did. They came in on gliders to the music festival and started shooting up the place. And they were taking captives there. And to make sure the captives could not run away, they were shooting off legs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
We had heard something
to
that effect. Yeah. I opened the show. I mean, if there was any doubt, Hamas has proven that evil exists in this world. The human beings to do things like this have got to be just pure, downright motivated by evil. I don't think there's any other explanation, Abe.
I think we're not only looking at evil, we're looking at something as evil as anything we've seen up close. This is probably comparable to what ISIS's victims went through, but we didn't, you know, that wasn't as well televised or photographed.
And
so here, they weren't, you know, they weren't my nephew who was victimized here.
Right.
So here, it really, you see it. You know people. I've got a couple of other friends who lost children. It's a small, you know, there are 10 million people here, and yet it's a small country. Everybody, you're never more than a couple of degrees of separation away from anyone else. It's a gigantic dysfunctional family. That's really what this country is.
Yeah. And of course, they are, you know, broadcasting this stuff to the world live and wanting to make sure everybody knows how, you know, barbaric, I think the word you used was, it's quite appropriate, how barbaric that they have become. And they leave no doubt. You know, the question is, how do we react to that? And we'll get into that a little bit more in the next half hour of the show. And exactly how, what we know, how they pulled this off and who might have been behind it. But I have to ask you, so far, Biden has not given a public address on this. He evidently today, they closed the shop over at the White House at 11:45 this morning. I guess maybe he was sleeping off. You know, he actually was at a barbecue party last night.
After 9:30 a.m. That's usually when they call it a day for him.
That's got to be discouraging or concerning, I would think, to Israelis.
I'll tell you the perception here, because he did make some statements early on, and the perception was good. He said the right stuff, and then they're moving a carrier group. Closer to the shore here, and they've apparently worked out something to position all kinds of American arms here, and they've promised that they'll keep them supplied. And also, Congress is other than eight members, most of whom we've mentioned before at one time or another on this show. everybody else seems to be on board, and. The other thing I noticed here is that you know, okay, there are gestures from the Europeans and things like that. The UK, the Prime Minister of the UK has been unusually supportive. Usually it's very muted, but it's good. I'm happy to see it.
All right, Abe, stay with us. We'll get right back to you. This will be a very short break, so stay with us, the American Adversaries. Once again, this hour of our show brought to us by Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. You can support them and be a part of the solution by going to pjtn.org and sign up there. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the American Adversaries, Drive Time, the titans of talk radio on AM 950 and FM 94.9. The Answer, online at theanswerorlando.com, americanadversaries.com. Streaming on Rumble, and a special welcome to Super Channel WACX Antenna TV viewers on 55.7. Now, let's join the action.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
Welcome once again to the American Adversaries Radio Show. We'd like to welcome now our WACX TV audience. That is the Super Channel, and that is 55.7 on your antenna remote. And, of course, our Rumblers out there watching on Rumble, we appreciate you too, and all you folks out there listening however you listen. This hour of the show is brought to us by Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. PJTN.org is the website. Lori Cardoza Moore is in the Relax and Comfort Studio, along with Rick Brown and myself, Christopher Hart. Jeff is on the bridge. And on the line with us now, of course, is Abe Katzman. And we'll be going live with Abe right up to the top of the hour, no commercial break. So that we can really delve into this. Abe, I was thinking today, you know, you've been a part of the show for 11 years and a huge part of whatever success that we enjoy. And I never envisioned that we would be talking about one of your family members being murdered in a massive terrorist attack. But that's exactly what has happened. This, you know, on the 50-year anniversary, almost to the hour of the Yom Kippur War, and it just, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of kind of like 9/11, how could this happen type stuff. So why don't you give us how you understood that it took place, and then what didn't happen that enabled it to come off like this?
Well, I think there are a few things. One, they managed to hide their plans very, very well. And that raises a certain issue, because Israel is very reliant on, you know, what they call signal intelligence, which is, you know, fancy way of saying from various eavesdropping and electronic signals and picking up this information and that information that's going through the airwaves, whatever it might be, and piecing it all together and figuring things out from there. But it's possible that their human intelligence, which I always thought wasn't so bad. It was actually pretty good in Gaza. Maybe need some shoring up. You know, it's all the wizardry in the world is only going to get you so far if you don't have people behind it, if you don't have soldiers behind it, if you don't have intelligence assets behind it. And I'd say the same thing, you know, there again, with the electronic fence and the anti-tunnel system and the Iron Dome and this, and maybe there's, you know, I wouldn't say too much reliance on the technology, but you still need a backup in case they're somehow able to beat it. You need boots on the ground, and, you know, here they just didn't have enough. There were a few things. It was a holiday weekend. A lot of people went home, but it was totally unexpected. They did, you know, there were a couple of smart things they did in order to, the sequence of things they did to to allow this to happen. First, apparently, there are various outposts for recon, for weapons that Israel has overlooking this. So they dropped bombs from drones, from little drones, I think, like maybe dropping a grenade or something like that. They would drop it into the area where the soldiers were, and they would take them out. Once there, and even if it's not all of them, it's at least you've lost the height, you've lost the vantage point. Anyway, after that they started firing rockets, and they fired a lot of rockets. They fired more rockets than anyone thought they were capable of firing. I think there were somewhere in the area of 2,000 to 3,000 rockets in 4 hours. Mm. I think we used to assume that they could do maybe 1,000 to 1,500 a day. So they got a lot more off, and that had to be handled with Iron Dome and with, you know. And while that was going on, they had these, these guys in gliders and others in boats crossing into Israel without enough defense to stop them all. They kind of swarmed. And while that was happening, they charged up to the fence and blew holes in it in several places, big enough to drive through, which is what they did. It's very bad. One of the guys who I know, his son was at one of those outposts, and they were just overrun.
The gliders. Don't you have to have aircraft to launch gliders from? I didn't know that.
No, these are like what they call ultralights. They're not. Think of this as a hang glider with a giant fan on your back.
Wow. Hey.
And they, you know, I see people using them at the beach, yep, or whatever. It's cool.
Right.
But then there were these. I mean, I don't know if you saw some of the images of the people at this, you know, at this music festival. They've been dancing all night, and they're dancing, and in the background, you start to see these guys coming.
Yeah, it's just. But let's go back to how perhaps this was put together. Now, Wall Street Journal, mm-hmm, started last night, and they're reiterating today that Iran was clearly behind this, that they had been planning this evidently at least since August, which, by the way, is when Biden made the deal with the $6 billion for the hostages, and that the final okay evidently was given by Iranian intelligence or whatever branch was behind this in Beirut last Monday. Is there any reporting of that nature in Israel? Is there any validity to it?
Everybody's speculation is being, given airtime. That is a popular view. I assume it's a correct view just because the degree of sophistication here, and for all we know, there was also electronic jamming of whether it was Israel's phone system. They didn't jam the Iron Dome, but maybe they messed up some of the communications. Anyway, this is anything that sophisticated is probably an Iranian Republican Guard engineered operation. Mm-hmm. We've never seen anything of that kind of level of sophistication just from Hamas alone or Islamic Jihad. They're generally much more straightforward. We have rockets, we fire the rockets.
Has it come out?
We use tunnels. We use the tunnels.
Right.
So, yeah.
Has it come out in the media over there? Rick has something about some of our personnel over here and their connections to Iran.
Yeah, Rob O'Malley. Are you familiar with that name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've spoken about him. Yep.
So evidently, three of the people that he had surrounded himself with, one of them is now Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations at the Pentagon.
Right.
And these have been confirmed to have, if not Iranian operatives. They certainly pal around with the Iranian intelligence quite a bit. Go ahead.
They have at a minimum a lot of explaining to do.
Right.
And in all likelihood, yes, it sure looks like they are Iranian assets.
Yep.
And Rob Malley, I mean, he doesn't pretend to be anything else. He, you know, this is a guy who always said we should work with Hamas. Work with the Iranians. Use Iranians as to counterbalance Israel in order to create some kind of Middle East balance that'll keep the peace. It doesn't make any sense to me, but this has always been his thing. So he brings in these people, remember, and Malley himself has had his security clearance taken away
in July. Yep.
So. And we remember, you know, when this happened, I remember some weeks ago, there were a couple of things going on. And I said to you then, I said, I'm in a conspiratorial mood. I said, I doubt that he was selling out U.S. security, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if what he was actually doing was undermining Israeli security.
Right.
And maybe. That theory certainly hasn't yet been proven wrong.
No.
Certainly,
and this kind of makes it look a little bit more likely. Grant, and I don't pretend to know anything to back that up, but the public knowledge makes it look like that's quite possible.
And all he would really have to do is reveal to them how Israel and the United States were gathering their intelligence, and they could take it from there.
Oh, yeah.
They could actually even use that knowledge to manipulate intelligence
information that we got. Sure.
Exactly.
Which might be why we had no idea this was coming.
Indeed. The Biden and Iran policy, and I know evidently anyway that Prime Minister Netanyahu and Biden have spoken over the phone. Obviously, Israel's in a precarious position here. They can't really insult Joe Biden. But did he actually bring up the fact that his policies towards Iran have not only emboldened them but enriched them? And I'm not just talking about that $6 billion thing. I'm talking about the oil sales and the other things.
And the sanctions that were lifted.
It's hundreds of billions of dollars. It's probably half Iran's economy.
Right.
And it's so I don't, you know, he doesn't have to bring it up with Biden. Biden knows that what he thinks. He knows that Biden knows what he thinks. And besides, other people, I mean, Donald Trump was out there saying it. It's not Netanyahu doesn't have to be the one to bring up a point like that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Donald Trump, real quick, now that you mention it, Donald Trump put out a Truth Social statement, I think within hours or days after the hostage deal was completed in August, basically predicting this was going to happen. He didn't have any specifics, but he said, this is the kind of thing that this is going to enable, and here we are. I would take it that currently things are, you know, Israel's got what they need. The Biden administration is going to assist at least immediately with, I think, $8 or $10 billion worth. But President Netanyahu said that this is going to be, as he called it, a long war. Is there concern that Biden has got a short memory?
Well, we'll leave his actual memory issues aside, but look, this is both, I think what's necessary and perhaps even an opportunity here will involve a longer war than just a few days here, a few days there. And Israel knows this is going to be a problem also, is that as justified as anything they do is right now, by next week, that wears off. And suddenly they're accused of war crimes and things. I mean, look, in any encounter with Hamas, we should never hear the words, Israel committed war crimes again. So that doesn't mean we won't.
And nor should Israel ever pay attention to those words.
Yeah.
They have to do what has to be done.
Israel has to deal with it. They've got to deal with it. Mm-hmm. On the, you know, there's there are all kinds of implications, sanctions and labeling and various things going on from either the International Criminal Court that's claiming jurisdiction over them, or, you know, there are a lot of things that can go wrong.
So, Abe, they're going to do a complete embargo of Gaza, and then what?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question.
Some concessions, and then everything goes back to the way it was, or do they have the fortitude to go in and eradicate them completely?
Yeah, well, so I don't know what it, you know, when you say eradicate them, I'm not sure, you know, what that means. Is this, you know, like a biblical kind of thing where you slaughter all males above the age of 8?
Almost, certainly. I don't know how you stop this otherwise.
Well, certainly, it would be as many of the terrorists that you could kill, and of course, their leadership.
And the leadership, right.
Correct, yeah. Right.
And then, you know, maybe what you do. I know ideas like this get floated every so often, but you get the Saudis or the UAE or to work with the Egyptians maybe, and to govern, to oversee it. Now, I don't know, if I were the Saudis, I would not be anxious to put my people into Gaza to, you know, take over and run the show over there. You're going to need a lot of backup people if you do that. But something along those lines, because otherwise, what do you have to do? You have to live with it. Are you really going to kill, you know, a million people?
Mm-hmm.
You look at the degree of depravity and evil and you wonder, but at the same time, you also have to realize that, remember, we've spoken about this before. There are people out there protesting at the risk to their own lives, the Hamas government.
Yeah.
And, you can't, to get biblical again, when God is going to destroy Sodom, Abraham starts bargaining with him. Says, really? Are you going to destroy it? If there are 50 righteous men there, are you going to destroy it? If there are 40, and ultimately the answer is, no, I won't, but there aren't. That's where it ends up being.
Right. The Hezbollah in Lebanon, there were reports yesterday that they had fired a handful of rockets in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also seen reports that Israel is, moving military equipment and personnel up to that border as well. What can you tell us about that angle?
Well, one of my other nephews, who's in the who finished his army duty some years ago, but is in the reserves, his unit got sent up there.
I see.
And there have been some attempted infiltrations, and there have been some mortars fired, and there have been some firefights. They've killed the Hezbollah infiltrators that have come through, but there have been Israeli soldiers injured, and there is the possibility. I mean, they're at least making it look like they are keeping the option open of taking care of business in Lebanon, if that's what they have to do now. Also, because I just saw there was a notice here of. From the home front command, there are these instructions that have come out basically saying that people should start preparing for up to 3 days in a shelter. Now, that's, like all government type things, that's probably, over the top. Or it was done in coordination with the bottled water lobby. That's also possible. there's real concern. Because it's Iran, and this is they think they may be able to do an awful lot of damage to Israel if they've got a war on two fronts, or maybe even a third. But I think that's probably not going to happen. But two is plenty.
But Iran, once again, is sort of, as the old saying goes, the elephant in the room here. And that is, it's kind of like Hezbollah and Hamas are branches of their terrorist organization, their terrorist organization, their military of sorts. And so ultimately, they're going to have to be dealt with in some fashion.
Yes.
And is there any talk about that? Or is it too early?
Well, there is. I mean, this is one of the things, you know, when back when Naftali Bennett was a true right-winger, or so we thought, he used to say, you know, it was what they called the octopus theory, is you were dealing with the tentacles, you've got to take care of the head. And the head is in Iran. And I really, you know, nothing will surprise me here. This has been... so over the top, so violent, so it's gotten people so, you know, hurt and angry and vengeful and looking for justice and whatever it might be. Don't be surprised if the momentum of this gets carried to Iran, at least to taking out some of the leaders. I kind of think that's where it may go.
And certainly, in my opinion, it's certainly justified. But is there any concern?
It would make the world a better place.
No doubt
about
it.
That I can tell you.
No doubt about it. But is there any concern, given that they have managed to actually produce a nuclear weapon or two on the sly, and that also has emboldened them?
Well, you know, they didn't think so, but then look what happened. Look at what Hamas was able to pull without them realizing it.
Right.
So I don't know how much confidence they have in whenever they say, oh, they don't have this capability.
Right.
Maybe they have. Maybe there are ways to know, but every time they kick out the inspectors or dismantle a camera, you've got to assume that it's because there's some major step that they're going to be taking.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if they've done it, it's not going to matter if you attack them, if you don't attack them. They've got it. And you're going to have to, you know, maybe better to decapitate them now when they're just getting it underway.
Exactly. All right, I want to ask you some about the domestic politics side of this, which we have to look into. Lori pointed out on the show last night, reminded us that when this happened 50 years ago, Golda Meir was the prime minister, and...
Yeah, and I mean, she had to step down 3 months later, and so I've been seeing some of the political aspect of this, and of course, we all know this has not been verified, but people are wondering: was this with all the attacks against Bibi, with the rallies going on, was there any, you know, was somebody withholding information like what happened with Golda, and apparently Moshe Dayan?
Yeah. There are people making all kinds of claims and people trying to stir the pot. Mm-hmm. There's some Egyptian that said, I told them that this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a little suspicious because anybody that has that kind of information doesn't just pop up and say, hey, I'm an agent. I'm an Israeli agent,
right. You'll be dead
and I'm
tomorrow.
At the very top of the information food chain, and this is what I'm saying. You know, so you've got to be suspicious anytime. Anybody who claims to know right away, you've got to be skeptical. I can't believe. I don't think so. I can't. You like to think there's no way, but we see all the time that things that we think are just impossible aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I don't know. I think that's really taking sabotage awfully far, and you know at a huge cost.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but you know in a way you ruin the momentum of the people who are trying to take out Bibi because suddenly. Just like that, the weekly protests evaporated.
Mm-hmm.
They were all called off.
Wow.
'Cause these guys have the sense to know that now is the time to at least declare unity.
Unity, yeah.
See what that means.
Right.
But for the moment, they're talking about a national unity government. I mean, I think it also might just be a way that they want to you know, they can get their foot in the door this
way. That's right. Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of, you know, they say, oh, it's the right-wing government, the right-wing government. I kind of like the idea of it being a right-wing government that prosecutes the war.
Absolutely. That might be the one mistake that they made, was that Bibi Netanyahu is the prime minister, and he will deal with it accordingly. But you know, I saw, you know, even amongst all of what happened, that Israel still had compassion in the way that they at least took out one of the buildings in the Gaza Strip. It was, I guess, it's being depicted as a high-rise apartment building and also the headquarters of Hamas. And evidently, as they have done in the past, is the IDF notified the people in the building that you got an hour, get out, or go down with the building. Did that really happen again, Abe? Uh-oh, I guess we lost. He'll call back, I'm sure. Yeah, go ahead, Rick.
Yeah.
All right, so once again, this is a horrific event that has happened over there in Israel. You can, by the way, check out Abe at his website. That's Abe Katzman with an S, Katzman.com. And if you'd like to leave wishes on his Facebook page, Abe Katzman, for the, you know, condolences for the death of his nephew, Chaim, you can go there as well. Abe Katzman, once again, spelled with an S. And boy, I mean, he's described, I think, pretty well exactly what has transpired there. I think we got him back. Okay, Abe, I'm sorry that happened.
I'm back.
Yep, I'm sorry.
No rockets involved.
Thank God.
Thank you.
Yeah, we worried about you. I'm telling you, we're worried about you over there. I don't remember the question I just asked of you. It's sort of surreal in a way, you know. As I was saying earlier, I don't think we've seen this type of atrocity. Obviously, there was the Holocaust, but the way this was done, I don't think we've seen since the Dark Ages, Abe.
Yeah, and they've pointed out this is the bloodiest day in Jewish history since the Holocaust.
Mm. Right.
Mm. You know, we really haven't seen anything like this. And we weren't, you know, if this happens the week after the Holocaust, you're like, okay. In fact, it sort of did. There was a pogrom after the Holocaust in Poland.
Right.
But here you just, you know, you think you're protected from this kind of thing. You know what you're dealing with, but you think you've got, a secure distance from any of their capabilities. And but boy, you see how determined they are to do this. And that's the thing also, you know, they're out to, you know, the degree to which they're out to hunt Jews. It's not like that music festival was a strategic military asset.
Right.
You know, there's nothing military involved about it. That is just about finding vulnerable young people.
Yeah.
It's as most terrorist acts are, it's cowardly, but it's also horrific. And Abe, of course, we're concerned about you. We're praying for you, Israel, beseeching God that justice be done here and that those responsible all the way up the ladder be held accountable for this. And know that we love you. And we wish we could have got to know your nephew.
Mm-hmm. It is appreciated.
All right. Well, so are you, brother. Without you, this show wouldn't be what it is. All right. Abe Katzman, thank you so very much.
God bless you.
God bless you, Abe.
Give your dad a hug for us.
Okay.
You got it.
All right. Thanks.
All right. You got it. All right. Abe Katzman, Katzman spelled with an S.com is his website. You can also find him on LinkedIn and on Facebook. And please show him some love and lots of prayers. We'll be back with the American Adversaries radio show.
On Patriot Home Funding Friday, Pierce Outlaw, Master Dennis, and I spoke with Patrick McGarrow, publisher of Undoing Time magazine, a legal news outlet about Trump's New York civil and D.C. criminal cases.
All right, so it is a Patriot Home Funding Friday. You got Pierce Outlaw, Master Dennis, and myself, Christopher Hart, in the Relax and Comfort studio. Jeff is on the bridge, and on the line with us now is our legal expert, who is now the publisher of Undoing Time magazine. You can go to undoingtime.org. Just spell it out, undoingtime.org. It's a legal news outlet for the criminal justice system. Congratulations, Mr. Publisher Patrick McGarrow.
Oh, thank you. Wonderful to be on this lucky, lucky Friday the 13th. Now that I'm recovering as an attorney, as a former attorney, I'm going to be doing a news website. It's going to be the Drudge Report and the Buckner Report for criminal justice aficionados. And I also want to let you know, the very special listener out there in Orlando, you got a new fan. Lovely, lovely Joya is streaming live now, listening. She's totally into Donald Trump. She's totally into me. Welcome, Joya, to the American Adversary.
Absolutely. Welcome, Joya. We love you, too. Thank you so very much. And so Undoing Time, is that Undoing Time a takeoff on the old phrase, doing time?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Donald Trump is going to feature prominently on this website. I'm going to be starting an entire series dedicated to him and him alone, going to post everything that is being filed in cases, because we are going to shine light on the criminal system. As my former legal partner and excellent attorney, Anthony Hall Scott, has always said, if the public knew how corrupt the court system was, they would never submit to its authority. But it's shine light on what's going on. And we have stuff going on with Trump this week. We do.
All right, I want to get to that, but real quick, how regularly will you publish?
Every day, multiple times a day.
Okay.
We're going to be posting breaking news. We're going to be taking it down to level, past the superficial stuff. We're going to be posting source stuff so the public can read for themselves and not rely on the opinions of mainstream media journalists that, number one, is being written by AI, and number two, is just a bunch of nonsense anyway. So we're going to give you the source document. They're going to make up their own mind.
All right, we are getting a little bit of breakup here. Not enough to cut the line with you, but just to let you know, there's a little bit of breakup going on here in the signal.
No, sorry.
All right, that's okay. All right, well, because you've written a couple of articles already, and by the way, you go to undoingtime.org, and can people subscribe there?
Yes. It's actually all free, but there is a subscription for a print magazine that's going to come out. There is a area for subscribers only that will mostly for attorneys and pro se litigants that will be able to benefit from the 22 years that I practiced law. Everything I've ever done there that's been publicly filed, you can templates, use them, plagiarize them, use them to your advantage,
right,
and you win like I used to.
All right, well, let's start with the articles you've written. It is about the Washington, D.C. case, as you call him, Captain Jack Smith, is orchestrating against Donald Trump. A couple of motions he has filed.
A couple of motions were filed yesterday, and disturbing motions. By the way, Captain Jack's middle name, and now that the gloves are off, now that I'm no longer practicing law, I can say these kinds of things. His middle name is Scumbag, because that's what his mother knew he was when he was born. So they refused to put it on the birth certificate as a first name, but that's his middle name.
Okay.
So Captain Jack Scumbag has filed two motions. First motion is to keep the identities of potential jurors anonymous. And that has the practical effect of depriving Donald Trump and his legal team of conducting research into the jurors, finding out who's coming to court, what their biases are, what they've posted on social media regarding their opinions on Donald Trump, which we know are plentiful on both sides, and preventing them from even knowing things like their names, their dates of birth, where they live, where they went to school, what political affiliations they might have, whether they might be registered in one party or the other, whether they've contributed money to political parties.
But aren't those the typical questions that are asked to a potential juror on a questionnaire or in the voir dire process?
Some of those, yes. But here's the problem. if you have no idea who that person is, how do you do what Ronald Reagan has always said, which is trust but verify? These people can come in and say whatever they want, and there's no way for the lawyers to verify what they are saying is true and accurate and complete.
Have you ever heard of such a motion being filed, much less being granted?
Yes, it has been filed. It has been filed against Donald Trump. It has been granted, mostly in federal court. In state court, that kind of nonsense does not fly. But in federal court, where you know basically the presumption of innocence is flushed down the toilet, right, and especially with Donald Trump, there is a good chance that this particular judge in D.C., which is no friend to Mr. Trump,
right,
will grant this motion, and he will be at an extreme disadvantage.
Is this something that he could appeal right away?
Unfortunately, no. There is a possibility that he could try to get the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals to issue what's called a petition for certiorari or writ of certiorari, blocking this type of injustice from happening. But the judges on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals are about as sympathetic to him as the judges on the federal district court level at the trial court level in Washington, D.C. So I don't think he's going to find a friend on either court.
Now, Chutkan hasn't ruled on it yet, has she?
No. The motion was just filed yesterday. The defense has the opportunity to oppose it, which I imagine that they will. I'll get that out. I'll be happy to report on that. And the government will then have the court set a hearing. There will be argument on that motion. And then at some point, the judge will make a decision. And I'm willing to bet that decision will come probably a week before the trial happens.
All right. You said there was another motion that he filed.
Second motion, equally disturbing. Okay. And I will preface this with saying this is something that everybody knows, right? The attorney-client privilege, attorney-client confidentiality. This is a principle in the law that anything you say to your lawyer will be locked up tight in a vault. That lawyer cannot disclose any secrets or any information that you tell that lawyer in confidence without that client's say-so, without that client's permission. And there are very, very, very good reasons for this rule of law to be in place, which has been in place since before the United States Constitution was adopted and ratified by the 13 colonies. Okay? That's how old attorney-client privilege is, right? The United States government, the Department of Justice, Captain Scumbag here, wants to have the court pierce that attorney-client privilege and force Donald Trump's attorneys to testify against him, whether they want to or not, under pain of perjury, under penalty of being held in contempt. And if they don't want to cooperate, they can be thrown in jail. And attorneys have gone to jail protecting client confidentiality in the past and ultimately have won. But again, we're in topsy-turvy land, Washington, D.C., federal court. Let's see what happens here.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems as though a judge, Beryl, had already granted such a motion for Beryl Howell had already granted such a motion for the grand jury. Would this be to allow those same attorneys to now, rather than testify for a grand jury, testify in open court? Or is this something in addition to that?
This is in addition. And what Judge Howell had granted was an exception to allow the – and there's an exception to the attorney-client privilege, and that's when the attorney and the client are conspiring together to commit a crime.
Right.
In that situation, the privilege goes out the window. Right. And that's always been the case. This is different. This is if Donald Trump wants to raise certain defenses, the government wants to force his former attorneys to testify against him to try to undermine those defenses at trial. This is much broader. They want to get into the most holiest of holes, for lack of a better term, okay? Because that attorney-client privilege is a black hole. information goes in and does not come back out. The government wants to get in there, and they want to get the most confidential information known under the law.
All right. And once again,
scary business. Scary stuff.
I take it that'll follow the same procedure as the other motion. In other words, the defense will respond to that, then there'll be a hearing, and then the judge will issue the ruling.
Exactly. And that, if there will be an immediate appeal, that would probably be more likely than not to be heard by the D.C. Court of Appeals and maybe even the United States Supreme Court, because that's how extreme this is. And I want to make that clear to the audience. This is extreme, extreme stuff, okay? This is the equivalent of the government coming into your house and looking through your underwear drawer and your diary. It's just as bad, if not worse.
Well, they've already done that at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Melania had to replace all her lingerie. So,
exactly.
Yeah, and I mean that literally. She wouldn't wear the clothes after she knew that the FBI had been rifling through them. And I do not blame
I wouldn't either.
No.
Dirty bunch of scumbag federal alphabet agents touch my stuff, I'd burn it in the backyard, too.
There could be bugs in them.
I was going to say, you don't know what they might have left behind. All right, well, let's go now to the New York case, where this is the civil trial, where, as you've told us, the judge, thanks to this Looney Tune law up there in New York, has already made his decision that Trump committed fraud with his estimates on his real estate holdings, even though nobody lost any money. People made, including the state of New York, have made tons of money off of Trump properties and Trump loans. And this is the so-called penalty phase. And give us what you have, please.
So Weisselberg has testified this week, has had an incredible case of amnesia, said, I can't recall, something along the lines of 100 or so times. And at one point, the attorneys questioning him basically stopped. The judge stopped the case and attorneys up and said, you know, we're gonna continue this. You can recall him if you want, because apparently Weisselberg has made some statements that were at odds with other statements that he's made in the past, some of them sworn, some unsworn. This has turned into a complete circus, as we knew it would. Michael Cohen is set to testify next week. Donald Trump is going to be in court for that. And, you know, and I'm calling this New York trial a complete farce and a fraud, because that's what it is. The state of New York needs that money to give away to all those migrants that Ron DeSantis and Governor Abbott have shipped north. They got to pay for that.
Yeah. All right.
So
they're
going to take Trump's money away, just like as if this was like a Soviet-style confiscation, and you know, for the good of socialism.
Did Weisselberg or the previous accountant say anything that was more damaging to Trump or less?
The testimony is all over the place. Some of it damaging, some of it exonerating. The problem is that you can't credit anything these people say. But what I suspect is going to happen, this judge, given his track record, is going to cherry pick the statements from the testimony to try and rule against Trump, while ignoring other statements that are contradictory. Anything that helps Trump will be disregarded. Anything that's potentially seen as hurtful will be twisted, turned upside down, and then used as justification.
All right, one last question. I think it was last weekend, a New York appellate court did put a hold on the judge's order to go ahead and put the Trump properties into receivership. What can you tell us about that?
That's correct. There's no final judgment yet, and receivership is an execution of a judgment. This is the judge in New York, you know, John Gordon, you know, basically counting his chickens before they hatched.
Right.
You know, I mean, the reality of the situation is you don't put something into receivership until after a judgment is entered, final decisions made. What he's doing is jumping the gun and basically telegraphing the way he's going to rule, and basically doing what is completely and totally, you know, in my mind, completely and totally improper, which is prejudging the case. You're supposed to keep an open mind until all the evidence, all the arguments are submitted and you've deliberated. When you say, I'm going to put this into receivership, you know exactly where you're going. You're telling everybody where you're going. And at that point, why bother continue with this trial? It's just a show. Just do what you're going to do.
All right. Well, I know you're heading up to, what, see Lake Howell play football tonight, and your son played
That's
on
it. That's right. Lake Howell takes on Oviedo. Let's go Silverhawks. Hopefully, Oviedo's a tough team, so they're gonna have a lot on their hands.
All right. Go Silverhawks. Thanks so much, Patrick. Once again, congratulations on Undoing Time, the new magazine, legal magazine. We appreciate it. Know it's going to be a huge success. Also on Friday, we spoke with B. Brian Blair, author of Truth Be Told, about the efforts of the Republicans in the House of Representatives to elect a new speaker. Got Nostradamus, Pierre Salwa, and myself, Christopher Hart, in the Relaxing Comfort Studio. It is a Patriot Home Funding Friday, after all. Jeff is on the bridge, and on the line with us now is the Killer Bee himself. That's right, author of Truth Be Told. Brand new. That book's been out about a year now, but it still reads like it's brand new. So get your copies at Amazon or wherever. Truth Be Told by B. Brian Blair. How you doing tonight, Killer Bee?
Doing good with all things considered here, Chris.
Yeah, all things considered, absolutely. I want to read something. This is something Derek sent us today. This is a proclamation by the governor of Tennessee. And I just want to get your thoughts on this. It says, it's fairly brief. It says, whereas we acknowledge God's sovereignty and the need for God's grace over our state and nation, whereas we walk humbly together with God in hope so that we may act with justice, kindness, and love, no matter the circumstances, and whereas we seek forgiveness for our many transgressions, so that our hearts and our minds may be renewed. And whereas Scripture tells us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and the Lord gives wisdom freely to those who ask for it. And whereas the people of Tennessee acknowledge our rich blessings, our deep transgressions, and the severe challenges shared, and the need to pause, to humbly embrace, and to seek God's guidance for the days ahead. Now, therefore, I, Bill Lee, Governor of the Tennessee, do hereby proclaim October 13 as a voluntary day of prayer, humility, and fasting. Pardon me for the reading there because I'm looking at my phone. Killer B, I think every governor in the state should write a similar proclamation, don't you?
I believe those are very wise words to heed, and no better time could a proclamation like that be brought to the forefront. I commend the governor.
Kind of reminded me of something our founding fathers would do.
Yes, that's leadership. And, we are a country built on faith. I mean, we are one nation under God. And unfortunately, in this country, we have gotten away from our roots and our values. That's what one of the main things that is causing all this, all these things that are happening, not just in Israel, but in our nation as well and around the world. You know, we have lost sight of the love for each other, the love that God commanded, and the fear of the Lord. I fear God every day. I pray to God every day and thank Him for this day. And I find myself to be a better person because of my faith, more so than anything.
No, absolutely. And it's so important for us, especially these times, you know, with all the atrocities that we see going on, not just in Israel, but other places as well. It's probably more intense in Israel as we see it and happening in mass like that. But those atrocities are happening elsewhere as well. And this world is in a dire situation. And, you know, it's looking for leadership. The world is looking for leadership, Killer B. And it's not finding it right now.
Well, one of the problems that we have is the the far left has, you know, grabbed the media. They're the big bully in the room that with the bully pulpit, and they want everybody to believe what they're saying, and they tell these lies long enough that people believe it. And you know, the stuff that is shown on TV, the stuff that is spread on the internet, the stuff that affects our children. You know, there's no such thing as a bad kid. When a child is born, he's as innocent as you can be. It's the child becomes a product of its surroundings, of who told them, who taught them, what they comprehended. And you know, what motivates them. And when you have evil around you and that's all you're hearing, as in the case of some of these young kids that have taken these Israelites as hostages, these Israeli citizens, and you know, they could have been good kids. There was a choice, but unfortunately, the leadership, as you mentioned, in this world, has deteriorated in a big way. I know that in the Middle East, that's been part of their culture for many, many years, and the fight against Israel, the jihad, is old, is much older than we remember, but you know, you come right here to the States and we see what the ugly narratives that the media and the people in power have allowed to perpetrate, you know, this society. And it's having a very, very negative effect, as I don't think anyone can deny.
Brian, I wanted to take that a little bit further. We talked in the first hour about how Hamas has a lot of support among the elite universities and those students. What are your comments on that?
Well, again, it goes back to how, you know, how your children are raised, who they hang around with, what they find interesting in life. And, you know, unfortunately, these pro-Palestinian people on campus, these anti-disestablishment type people, they don't like the country they live in. They don't appreciate the country they live in. Most of them have been raised with silver spoons in their mouths, and you know, they have a different world view than the average person that is raised in a family of love, of faith, a family that shows care for everyone. You know, somehow, some way, we have to reverse this trend, Pierce.
Let me change the subject here for a moment. At least the Speaker of the House still do not have one. Steve Scalise dropped out overnight, and now Jim Jordan is the front runner. He was they held a conference vote today, basically to nominate him again. And the vote, what was the vote again, totals, Pierce?
It was 152 to 55.
Now, Scalise had only been managed to get about 110 votes, so we're at least closer. But, and by the way, Jim Jordan was endorsed by Donald Trump. Kevin McCarthy has now also come out and endorsed him.
And so did Scalise.
And so did Scalise. Do you think they're going to be able to get him over the hump?
I certainly hope so, Chris. I mean, I think you know how I felt about Jim Jordan for a long time. I mean, to me, he's one of the classiest people in Washington. I think he has the most integrity of anybody that is in Washington operating as an elected official right now. He's tenacious against everything that's wrong. He's a likable guy, and as I've mentioned before, he's been an athlete, a coach. He's he's disciplined. He's a guy that, you know, he's not one of the guys you look at how much money they were worth when they went into office and how much they're worth now 4 years later, and they go from being worth $100,000 to being worth millions and millions of dollars. And he's not like that. He oftentimes sleeps in his own office because it's not feasible for him to have an apartment in Washington and a home in Oklahoma as well. So I think he's a great communicator, and I just hope that he does get across the finish line, and I hope it happens soon.
And he's got cauliflower ears, by the way.
No one else. He is also days. He is also great at asking actual questions during one of these House hearings, rather than showboating as so many of the Republicans do.
That's a great point, Nostradamus. He is always asking the right questions.
And I don't believe it would be prohibited, but as Speaker of the House, he would probably turn that judiciary chairmanship over to whoever is the vice chair currently. There's a lot of Republicans who are really stressed out over this. What about the process? Does this process how this is playing out? Is this causing you to lose sleep at night, Killer B?
No, that's not causing me to lose sleep at night. It's more so the evil in this world that causes me to lose sleep at night. I mean, and the evil behind the politicians. Knowing how politics works as a former elected politician, I just know how politics works, and it's a lot worse in Washington. You have lobbyists that are continuously, because they contribute to your campaign, the lobbyists are continuously pushing their agendas. And, people want to stay in power, and they have a tendency to listen to the lobbyists. But lately, it's certainly been people behind the scenes that have been pulling the strings, especially in the Democrat side of the aisle.
All right. Killer B is going to stay with us. We'll take a break, come back. I want to get the Killer B's thoughts on a couple of Biden administration policy ideas. Nostradamus has got those stories. And then don't forget, at 7 o'clock, you got Blue Darter football right here tonight as they take on crosstown rival the Lake Brantley Patriots. Blue Darters against the Patriots. I guess if we did the Rush Limbaugh thing, on the mascots, who would win? I guess we'd have to give the edge to the Patriots, right?
Gotta be.
All right. But we're going to be pulling for the Blue Darters, and we'll be right back.
AM 950 and FM 94.9, The Answer.
Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Do you suffer with low energy, difficulty sleeping, digestive issues, frequent illnesses, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Heiss Health Clinic is for you. Hi, this is Renee Humphreys. At Heiss Health Clinic, we use holistic methods to balance your body so it can help heal itself. Call Heiss Health Clinic at 407-677-1660 or go online to drheiss.com so we can help you experience outrageous health.
Friends, Lair Adams of the American Adversaries here to remind you to call Cafe Positano's right now and ask about today's chef specials. You know they make the best pizza, strombolis, and calzones, but call ahead, the menu changes. Maybe tonight they'll have chicken with mostardello sauce, salmon in a mango citrus glaze, flounder with mushrooms and spinach in a wine reduction, or Parmesan-crusted T-bone steak. Got you drooling yet? Google it now and dine in, pick up, or have delivered Central Florida's most authentic Italian food, Cafe Positano's.
It's time to convert and sell more with the best tools made for small, medium, and large businesses to grow online. With JJC Marketing Solutions, you can grow with do-it-yourself, easy website and funnel builder, or they will build it for you. More options at your fingertips with JJC Marketing Solutions. Not only do you get the best state-of-the-art website, but also comprehensive sales funnels, CRM tools, and powerful search engine optimization. No matter where you are, they can help you grow your business with affordable online marketing solutions. Get weekly reports, dashboard access, and full transparency to see how your keywords are growing. Start building your online presence today. JJCMarketingSolutions.com. That's JJCMarketingSolutions.com.
We all know we can't avoid death and taxes. Here in Florida, we also can't avoid mold, mildew, and grime building up on our homes, businesses, carports, and sidewalks. When it's time for you to tackle that dirt and grime, call Deere Brothers Exterior Cleaning, D-E-E-R-E. They do it all, from soft washing roofs to high-powered washing for those really tough jobs. No job too big or small. So when it comes time for you to deal with the mold, mildew, and grime, call Deere Brothers Exterior Cleaning at 407-978-8834. Leave the dirty work to them. 407-978-8834. Welcome once again to the American Adversaries Radio Show as we come to you live on a Patriot Home Funding Friday. Don't forget, you got Blue Darters next, and then Carl Jackson, I believe, is in tonight for Officer Tatum. Is he back there? Yep, Carl Jackson.
He sure is, yeah.
Yep, going to be on Officer Tatum tonight and Monday night, so make sure you listen at 10 o'clock. But we got the Killer Bee on the line with us now. Killer Bee, I want to get your thoughts on this story about illegals.
ICE, baby, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, is overseeing, maybe overlooking, 5.7 million migrants in the U.S. And if the Biden administration gets their way, they could soon be provided free medical service, food, and even housing. The plan is for vendors to join ICE's monitoring of migrants through ankle monitors, phone apps, and in-person check-ins, but they also want to spend billions on what would in effect be a welfare program for non-detained migrants awaiting court dates.
Killer B?
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, there's a way to come into our nation legally. We've had a front door forever, and they need to go through the front door. But what this administration's done, I mean, to have, you know, just in the last 3 years, think about this, 8 million people that we know about crossing the border, many of them military age, many of the people on the terror watch list have been turned away. But how many of those have gotten through our borders? We don't know. And I can guarantee you this, and I hate to even say this, Chris, but I know that there are sleeper cells all over. There are people that want to do grave harm to this nation, and I think that we are getting very close to a very organized strike on this nation that will come from both within and from without. We've got a war going on in Russia and Syria right now. We've got the war going on right now with Hamas and Israel. And when this all gets going and comes down, you watch and see China is going to attack Taiwan, and we're going to be into World War III. But we have let our guard down, and the border is going to turn out to be one of the greatest perils of this nation, one of the greatest travesties that has ever happened in this nation, far surpassing 9/11. And, you know, I truly believe that with all my heart and soul, and I hope and pray that I'm wrong.
Oh. Matter of fact, Nostradamus had one of his military sources say virtually the same thing.
Yeah, especially the threat of an high EMP, which could short-circuit our whole nation for up to a year.
And the sleeper cells.
Yep.
That the intelligence is that they are certain that the sleeper cells are here. They're also certain that the sleeper cells would be activated should the United States get involved in this war over there now with involving Israel.
And almost certainly coordinated across the country all at the same time.
All right.
And it's unconscionable that the border hasn't been closed in light of the attacks in Israel.
Yeah.
You're right, Pierce. You're absolutely right. But, you know, it's almost like I would never believe this if I wasn't watching it with my own eyes. But it's like this administration wants us to go broke, wants us to cave in, wants America to become just another nation so that, you know, they can share, the billionaires can share the wealth with their globalist business and their globalist ideas, and let America just become you know, the nation that we fought for.
Yeah.
Agenda 2030.
Yeah, that's basically it. The World Economic Forum, the Agenda 2030, the UN, all in order for them to implement what they want to do for the world, which is one world government in essence, the United States stands in the way. We're basically the last impediment If they get rid of the United States, then it's, you know, Katie bar the door. They got what they want. So this is you know, an existential moment for the go ahead.
And some of our top allies, they've taken the guns away from the citizens in Australia and Canada, and you know, a well armed citizenry is tough to overcome, and they know that, and that's why Biden just wants us to have a pistol or a shotgun. You know, no ARs, nothing to defend ourselves, when that's not what the Constitution says clearly.
Yeah, and that's just their first thing. But I wanted to ask you about what Biden said in Philadelphia today after he stumbled going up two steps again. He said that the only existential threat to the United States is climate change.
Said that today.
Is that ridiculous or what? You know, I agree the climate is always changing, and we are in the middle of climate change. It's something that happens, but nobody has absolutely proven that it is man-made. It's not, and there are too many opposition papers to the scientists that claim that oil is and cows and these type of gases are causing a hole in the atmosphere. I mean, there's too much stuff to argue there against their point.
Well, I saw more.
Call it the number one thing facing our nation is sick.
Well, I saw more gas coming out of AOC on her podcast the other night than I've seen out of any cow in a field lately.
No doubt about that. And you know, this threat from within the country is not only from illegals, but also from officials in our government. You know, this guy Robert Malley, who was the lead negotiator with Iran, turns out to be an Iranian spy. And Iran has also managed to get their operatives into the Pentagon, of all places. But then you have spies also, I guess, in the United States Senate, Nostradamus?
In New Jersey, of all places. Senator Bob Menendez, you know all the problems he's been having lately. He was just charged with conspiracy to act as a foreign agent on behalf of the Egyptian government. His wife Nadine was also charged, according to an indictment filed Thursday in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. This follows the not guilty pleas that both of them entered last month to charges that included bribery and exportation. So, yeah, now he is potentially going to be sentenced as a foreign agent.
Coincidentally or not, the last time he had legal troubles, he was opposing the Obama administration on the Iran deal. Now he also has been opposing the Biden administration on their Iran policy, and he's in deep water again. Now, I'm not saying the guy's innocent or guilty, but an interesting twist that a guy who's against the Biden administration on the Iran policy turns out to be a spy for Egypt.
And why it's important is he's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
He stepped down from that position, but he's still in office.
Right. Could you ever see it?
But he was Nostradamus, and there's no telling what type of secrets he's given out. You know, to me, spying is as treasonous as it gets. They need to be hung, shot, gone. I mean, goodbye. If they're found guilty, that should be it. That's the worst thing that can happen. And I'm just afraid, again, with all these sleeper cells and everything that we're talking about, and with all these people that have sold their souls, you know, for monetary gains and power, they're putting us all in peril, and these people have to be stopped before it's too late, if it isn't too late.
The Republican primary continues to grind on, although it appears as though people are pretty much locked in with Donald Trump, and the other candidates are just kind of scrambling around for the crumbs. Have you seen anything changing?
No, nothing's going to change. I don't think anything at all would change unless unless something happened to Trump, which I pray to God it doesn't. I don't want anything to happen to anybody. You know, I don't want President Biden anything. You know, I wish no man ill will, but, you know, except for these animals that and evil, you know, I pray that all this, they can disappear as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, it's Trump's race to lose. I don't see him doing anything wrong. He's been getting his message out, even though he's been in court and been hamstrung by all these false charges or charges that would never ever be brought up unless it was Donald Trump. But he's still getting his message out, and not only that, he's growing in popularity.
I think it's interesting how Nikki Haley seems to have been surging since the second debate and actually displacing DeSantis in second place.
Not taking any numbers from Trump, but taking numbers from the other second-tier candidates, shall we call them. Killer B, 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, you know, Nikki, she's a she speaks well. She's a pretty lady. She did a great job as governor, and God knows we'd much rather have Nikki Haley in there than what we have now.
No doubt about it. And she talks tough, but she's got a tough reputation. If you remember when she was the UN, the ambassador to the UN from the United States. All right, we'll have to leave it there for tonight, Killer B. Always great to talk to you. Appreciate you. Have a great week.
You guys as well. Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless.
All right. We're going to try to. But keep those prayers going, ladies and gentlemen. That's the one thing we can all do, and it's up to us to do it. So please pray, keep loving, don't give up, and never surrender. Night, everybody.